Go ahead and open your Bibles this evening to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19. Let's begin reading in verse 1 as we continue here with the series that I trust will be a help. I think tonight's message, boy, it helped me as I was studying for it, and I trust it's going to help you as well. 1 Samuel 19, the Bible says in verse 1, "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David." Nice guy, huh? "But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood, to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain." A little bit different than verse 1, isn't it? Well, let's read on. "And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence, as in times past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. The evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him, and to slay him in the morning. Michael, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michael let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michael took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, He is sick. Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. When the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. Saul said unto Michael, Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he is escaped? And Michael answered Saul, He said unto me, Let me go. Why should I kill thee? Let's stop there and pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word and for this great story in the Bible, and I pray as I, Lord, seek to make the application here that you've led me to make, that you'd please speak to our hearts tonight. Please give us all understanding that we might be better believers, better Christians. And perhaps there's someone here tonight that's not a Christian. I pray tonight they'd come to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. And Lord, help me tonight again, fill me with your Spirit, guide and direct my thoughts and my words, and may you be pleased with everything that's said and done this evening. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to look at another cause of what we have coined a spiritual depression. And again, spiritual depression is a state that all of us at one time or another have to battle against. And some, and perhaps too many, remain in this condition for a long time. When we talk about spiritual depression, we're talking about a state of being a believer that is joyless. A believer that is unhappy, that's kind of down in the dumps, you know, moping around, if you will. It's what the Bible refers to, and we started out this series with this passage in Psalm 42, as a cast-down soul or a disquieted soul. It has the idea, again, of being disheartened, if you will, and perhaps even miserable. Have you ever met someone that says they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, yet they seem so miserable? They seem so grumpy. They seem so down in the dumps all the time. Well, you know, if you think about it for a moment, the phrase miserable Christian is in reality an oxymoron, isn't it? I mean, they really, the two words are contradictory. It should be an impossibility. If we're going to stick with the Scriptures, there really should be no such thing, because we're supposed to have the joy of the Lord. That's what Christianity is all about. Yet we are forced to merge these two words together to accurately describe some of God's people. Miserable Christians. You know, it has been said that one of the reasons that many people do not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it's not because of the doctrine of the Bible, it's because of the behavior of the Christian. Because many of them are miserable, down in the dumps, and they look at them and say, well, I don't want that. Miserable Christians. Now, for some time now, we've been trying to not only to diagnose this condition, if you will, but also to apply the scriptural remedy. Because we know there's a scriptural remedy for everything in the Christian life. Amen. And we would want this condition to be cured if that describes us this evening. By the way, God's word always has the cure. Do we believe that? I think this is Capital Baptist Church, right? Now, if we were down a little bit more south, it'd be Baptist Church with a B, B-A-B-T-I-S-T. But that we are a Baptist church, meaning that we believe the Bible is our authority. We believe the Bible has all of our answers. All we need to do is go to the Scriptures. We believe 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, tonight we're going to look at another cause of this condition that we've called, again, spiritual depression. And the cause that we're looking at this evening is a cause that we really find clearly displayed in the life of King Saul. That's why I picked this story out tonight. Now, we know that King Saul was Israel's first king. He was chosen to be king back in 1 Samuel chapter 9, just about 10 chapters before the section I read tonight. We know that he was man's choice. He was not God's choice. Israel had demanded a king. They wanted someone to lead them into battle. And so they picked this very, very big man, this physically strong man that had this commanding personality, if you will. And they thought, there he is. That's the man that we want. And, of course, they made him a king. And we know that he was a king, again, after man's heart, knowing that the next king would be David, his successor, was going to be a king after God's own heart. But you know, Saul, if you look at his life, boy, he's an interesting character, isn't he? I mean, he wouldn't be somebody that we'd want to model our life after. I mean, he had many, many spiritual problems. No doubt he was filled with pride. No doubt he was self-willed. And when his life finally ended, it ended in shame, it ended in disgrace and embarrassment. But I believe that throughout his life, there was something in particular that King Saul could never get victory over. And that is this, his emotions. His emotions. He could never get victory over his own emotions. Notice our text. I mean, we see in our text him flopping back and forth there, flipping and flopping. Notice in verse 1, he's so angry, he's so jealous, he's so resentful of David that he wants to kill him. And he speaks to Jonathan, his son, and all his servants. And he says, I want you to kill David. In verse 6, we know that he lies to his own son. He goes back and forth. Now he says, well, as the Lord liveth, he won't be slain. I won't slay him. And then in verse 10, we're back to him wanting to smite David again. Saul was a man that was ruled by his emotions. He was led by his feelings. Saul would say things that he never should have said, even to his own son. Do you remember what he said in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 30? The Bible says, then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and under the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? I mean, what a statement for a father to make to his own son. How could he do that? Because he was led by his emotions. And he said things that he never should have said because he was led by those feelings. He did things he never should have done. We see here in 1 Samuel chapter 19, wanting to kill David, all because he was a man that was ruled by his emotions and led by his feelings. And because of that, I believe that Saul died an unhappy man. I believe he was a joyless king. I believe he died a miserable person. I mean, his unbridled emotions became Saul's downfall. So tonight, I want to preach a message that I've entitled this. And I'm going to throw this right back on us for a moment. Are you, am I, ruled by our emotions? That's a pretty serious question, isn't it? Are you ruled by your emotions? Do you know there are many Christians that are ruled by their emotions? I mean the decisions that they make. I mean the way they respond to things, the things they say, their behavior, are all rooted in their emotions. It seems like they cannot control their emotions. They cannot harness their feelings. They cannot restrain themselves. You know, some will even blame their actions on things like their personality. They'll say, well, that's just the way my personality is. I grew, or on their past, you know, I grew up in a home where people just said what they wanted to say. Or they'll blame their circumstances on being led by their emotions. You know, some will even go as far as to attribute their feeling-based decisions and actions on the Holy Spirit of God. Well, God made me say that. Do you know that's a very dangerous thing to do, spiritually speaking? Very dangerous thing. And they wonder, why don't I have joy? So tonight, what I'd like to do, and this is kind of a teachy type topical message, if you will, I want us to see how an improper dealing with our feelings and our emotions can lead to a joyless Christian life. You ready for it? All right. Number one, let's talk about and consider the presence of emotions. Now, let me lay down some foundational things about emotions because, you know, we're talking about something that really isn't tangible, if you will, although the outcome of it is, emotions are not. Let me give you, I think I'm going to give you about three things here. Number one is this. Remember that emotions are real. Do you know they're real things, emotions? I mean, we have them, don't we? I have emotions and you have emotions. Really, emotions are a part of how God made us. God made us to be emotional beings. I have emotions, you have emotions, I have feelings, and you have feelings. Now remember, when God created man, he created man in his image. We know that, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man, here it is again, in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, what does that mean when we're created in God's image? Well, several things, and we've talked about this before. But really, part of it, I believe, is that as God is a three-part being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, what we call a trichotomy, three-part being, trichotomy, he created man the same way. Now, let me ask you this. Does God have emotions? I'll answer it for you. The answer is yes. God has emotions. Just read it in the Word of God. Do you know that God feels love? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Love is an emotion, isn't it? And God is love. We know that from the Word of God as well. Do you know that God also feels or has the emotion of anger? We read that in many times in the Word of God. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 14 is an example. I won't read it for time's sake. Do you know God also feels sadness? That's interesting, isn't it? God can be sad. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10 tells us that God feels grief. God experiences the emotion of grief. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 9, we read that God has the emotion of joy also. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, he also feels care. He cares for us. So imagine that the God of the universe has emotions. He's a person, by the way. Amen. He's a real person that has love and anger and sadness and grief and joy and care. And in turn, when he created man, he created us the same way, in his image. He didn't create us gods, we know that, but we are in the image of God. And so we, in turn, are a three-part being. We know from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 that we are comprised of body and soul and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 reads this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Now within our soul, we understand that we have an intellect, which is our mind. We also have a will. And the third thing we have within our soul is our emotions. So we do indeed have emotions. God created us as beings with feelings and emotions. By the way, in many ways, wouldn't life be pretty dull without emotions? I mean, really, it would be. Imagine if we were just, you know, these emotionless beings. Yes, hello, how are you today? You know, walking around like that. It'd be kind of strange. So the first thing we have to understand about emotions is that, number one, emotions are real. All right? Number two is this. Also, now listen closely. Emotions cannot be created. Now think about that for a moment. Okay, emotions are real. Yes, we understand that. We're talking about the presence of emotions. But then also, emotions cannot be created. Now, you can try to generate emotions, or you can do things, or think of things, or process things that will generate emotions, but you cannot truly create emotions within yourself. You can't do it. You see, emotions are a byproduct of other things. Let me give you an example, if you will. In other words, they're a response to something else. I'll never forget the day that we got the phone call. We were coming home from years ago, this was. We had a cleaning business for a time, and we had come home from a job, walking in the house. My wife's grandmother was there, and she said, "The police are on the phone." And we heard and talked to the police, found out my father had a heart attack. He was up in New Jersey there, away from where we were. I'll tell you what, that caused some emotions real fast. Same with you. You've received phone calls that all of a sudden you are cranked into an emotion, aren't you? Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it's a bad thing. You didn't create that emotion. That emotion was just a reaction to something else, right? It's a response to something. So that's something you need to understand. In fact, emotions can be a response to many, many different things. I want you to think about that for a moment. For example, they can be a response to a physical condition. For example, if you're tired. Some people get grumpy when they're tired. Not me. I don't ever get grumpy. You know, you get tired and you feel like a little bit out of joint. You ever been there? Now, come on now. I see nobody has a halo here. You've been tired. You come to church. You're here. I understand. You're struggling to be here, but you got here. Amen. And you may have a little kind of a grin on your face, but inside you, there's an emotion that's there. And it may not be the best thing because you're tired. You see, sometimes a physical condition can produce an emotion. How about this? Hungry. Amen. Hungry. That's the man, you know what I mean? We get hungry, we want food, and we want it now. You know what I mean? Put something in the old gully here, you know? I need put your smile. You know, they always say that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? Because what does it do? When you eat, for men anyway, it makes us smile, amen? Good old big juicy cheesesteak, amen? Anyway, don't get into that. But my point is this. Hunger, right, creates an emotion. How about this? Pain. I have a headache. I got a migraine. Don't talk to me. All right? Get out of my face. All right? Give me a couple Advil, about a dozen. And please do not try that at home. But and I'll be okay. All right? You see, sometimes it's a physical condition that causes an emotion. How about this? Circumstances. That's a big one. Right? You ever go through some trouble? Yeah, you know you have. Financial trouble? Maybe something coming up, a decision that you're not sure what to do. Maybe something puts you in a squeeze, some sort of circumstance. Maybe you're having difficulty. You just had a little discussion in the car with your spouse on the way to church, and it created an emotion. Maybe the kids were just unruly. And I mean, you had a day where it just seemed like all they did was just did wrong over and over again. And you come into church, hey, guess what? You got some emotions going on there. Oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. You know, circumstances can do that. Church sometimes, things that happen at church, you know, it can put you in an emotional state. It creates some sort of feeling. How about this? Events. Sometimes events cause emotions, like, for example, a speeding ticket. You know, I hate that feeling. I heard about it. Somebody told me about it. Where you look in the rearview mirror and you see those lights and you say, that's for me. And I get an immediate adrenaline rush. I get this taste in the back of my throat and my heart starts moving a little bit. Guess what? Emotions are cranked up, you know? Why? Because of an event that took place. How about a fender bender? Backing out, you know, doing fine, coming out of the Walmart, all of a sudden, goosh. I'll tell you what, your emotions are going to change real quick, aren't they? I mean, all of a sudden, you go, oh, no, what am I going to tell my husband, or what am I going to do with this thing? How about this one? Waiting in line for a long time. You know, you're doing great. Boy, you come in, you got your cart full. I mean, you had the store mapped out. You knew exactly how quick you were going to get through there. And you get up into the line, and you get in the line where somebody had a problem with a coupon. And they were arguing about it because of the date or because of something else. And back and forth you go, and you're looking over there saying, you know what, why didn't I pick that line? I always pick the wrong line. And it seems like, guess what, something happens, this event, and guess what? It caused emotions to come out, didn't it? That can happen. How about this? The unknown. You see what you mean by that? You ever wake up in the morning and you just found yourself in a mood? Come on now, let's be honest. I mean, that was completely different from the day before. I mean, and you don't know why. Yesterday was a fine day. Everything went all right. You seemed pretty happy. You went to sleep, kind of anticipating another great day. And you wake up, and for some reason, you're cranky. You're just cranky. And there's no explanation for it. Come on now. How many been there? For some reason, you're in a mood. Come on. My wife's not raising her hand. I took recording last night. No, I'm kidding. No. I know I do it. She doesn't. I got to go home with her, man. My point is this, all right? My point is this. Emotions cannot be created. They are just simply a response to something else. All right, that's number two. So, emotions are real. Number two, emotions cannot be created. Number three, watch this. Emotions can be both good and bad, right? There's good emotions, and then there's bad emotions. And that's true. Now, since the fall of man, sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men, and sin passed upon all men, and man became corrupt. That's why we wake up that way, by the way. Just kind of cranky sometimes. And so emotions, understand, can be good, and emotions can also be bad. Now, watch this. Whether they're good or bad depends on, watch this, the emotion itself, or what the emotion is directed at. Here's what I mean, okay? I knew I was going to get those looks that I'm getting. The emotion of love, okay? Good or bad? Depends, doesn't it? If it's love to God, it's good. If it's love to your spouse, it's good. But doesn't the Bible say love not the world? So what if I love the world? Is love a good emotion then? No, in fact, it's a wrong emotion. So it depends on the emotion itself, because some emotions in and of themselves are wrong, but then also a good emotion or an emotion that can be directed either way. All right, same thing. How about this? How about lust after someone is not your spouse? Lust is an emotion, but that's a bad emotion. It's a wrong emotion. How about hatred? Sometimes hate sin, right? Hate the devil. How many hate sin? Raise your hand. How many hate the devil? All right. But is it, how about hating your brother in Christ? You see what I mean? There's an emotion, so it depends on how it's directed or what it's directed at. So again, emotions can be good or bad. My point is this. Emotions are a very real thing. Don't think we're not emotional beings. We all deal with them. Well, Pastor, I thought you got up happy every day and you just sing zippity-doo-dah down the street every day. No, I don't. Okay? I got to deal with myself. I got to deal with circumstances. I got to deal with things as well. So emotions are real. The presence of emotions. All right, number two. That was all foundational. Number two. The problem with emotions. Okay. One of the greatest problems for the believer, here it is not the presence of emotions. Because again, they just happen when an event or as a response to something else. What's the greatest problem is not the presence of emotions, but the right handling of our emotions. Be ye angry and sin not. You see, that was what was wrong with King Saul. That was his issue. He was led by his emotions. Something happened. Boy, he heard that song. Saul has slain his thousands, but David, his 10,000s. Well, he should have just not felt the thing. No, that caused emotions. But it went beyond where it should have gone. He took it to the next step. He allowed those emotions to control his life, and he wanted to kill David because of his emotions. He was led by his emotions. His feelings dictated his actions. His feelings dictated his words, his decisions, and his responses to things. All of them were dictated by his emotions. Every one of us knows of someone that in a kind of a, almost a proud way, I guess you could say, says something like this. I always speak my mind. I always say what I think. Yeah. I just say it. As if that's a good thing. That's not a good thing. No. Think of the damage that is done to people if you just allow your emotion. Hey, can you imagine? Can you imagine if we said everything we thought? Wow. I'd be dead. You'd be dead. We'd all be dead. We'd kill each other. Amen. You know, think of that, who trample, people that trample self-righteously over people. Why? Because I just say what I think. You see, here's an important fact. Our emotions are always, always, always seeking to control us. Please, if you get one thing out of this message, get that. Our emotions are always seeking to control us. You understand that, right? They want to do their own thing. And until we realize this, they will undoubtedly do so. We read in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. When we're ruled by our emotions, it's a fleshly thing. And there's a war against the spirit of God, between the spirit of God and our flesh. And those emotions always want to rule the roost. You see, emotions are indeed, our feelings are indeed a significant part of the human experience. Life would be drab, certainly without them, but they must never govern our lives. Never. You know, we may not be able to change our feelings, but we can control them. We can control them and not allow them to control us. And that's the deal with many of us. You know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens. I can't help it, preacher. I just have to do it. When I get that feeling, I just have to respond. I have to say something. No, we don't. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. God's children, saved. If you're here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then we are to be led by the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are to be characterized, watch this, by the qualities of self-control. That's what temperance is, controlling our tongues, controlling our actions, controlling our bodies, even controlling our emotions, that we don't let them rule us. Oh, that's so very important. Self-restraint. You ever hear that? Self-restraint. Temperance. Christ-likeness. You know, I believe most of God's people live their lives functioning. Functioning totally in response to their emotions. I really do. Rather than being in submission to the Spirit of God. Do you know that just because... I wonder sometimes how many times we confuse the two. Can you discern between your emotions and the Spirit of God? There's a difference, by the way. Some people can't. They think, well, I had to say it. Must have been God. You know, or something like that. Just because you get a strong emotion or a strong impulse to say something or do something doesn't mean it's from God. It could mean just your emotions trying to rule the roost. You know, this idea of being governed by our feelings, it's a tough thing today because you know what? Our world lives by feelings. That's what it's all about today. It is. And if we're going to live led by the Spirit of God, we have to live differently. We live in an emotion-obsessed society. Feelings. That's what it's about. Feelings, feelings, on and on. I mean, think about it. Here's a teenager. He lays on his bed with an iPod that has 1,200 songs on it. In front of him, there's a television that has 147 channels. A video game system. Dozens of games. All of those games have 50 to 60 levels on them. I got to level 47 today. And 4 or 5 different worlds, if you know how those things work. He just received his 94th text message of the day. He has a 500 gig computer in front of him with his 350 Facebook friends and dozens of unread messages that are waiting for him to look at. And he looks at his mom and says, I'm bored. I'm bored. I ain't got nothing to do. Ooh. You ask, yeah. That was a no-go in our house, those two words. I'm bored. Didn't exist. Well, they did for a little bit, but no. You know, we took care of it. I'm bored. We gave him something to do, right? But how can that be? Think about that. How can that be? Here is a person, a young person, that is fed with all this junk, yet he says, I'm bored. You know, we can't even watch regular sports anymore. It's now extreme sports. You know, tennis, that's too boring. No, we need extreme sports. We need some blood. We need fight to the death. Not yet, but maybe soon. I mean, think about it. Kids can't play, and I'm not for video games, I'm not saying that, but they can't stay on it very long because they need something more. They need the next thing. Okay, I'm done with this. Why is that? Here's the problem. Now, watch this. Once you start down the path of everything's about feelings and stimulation, you create an endless thirst for more. That's what you do. You see, a person that lives and decides and lives their lives just all about feelings, all about emotion, needs a constant increase in stimulation. That is a mark of a person that's living by their feelings. All about how I feel, how I feel, how I feel. And that's how they live. Now let's take it to the church. All right, Christians. You know, with the Christian that's all about feelings, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time until they get bored. Oh, how I love it. We sung that hymn again. What was it tonight? Oh, follow, follow, I will follow thee. I will follow the Lord. How many times are we going to sing that one? You know what that is? That's a person that their life is all about feelings and emotions. Listening to the same preacher. You know one of the dangers is, somebody been here about where I'm at right about now, is when someone like me first gets here, it's fresh, new, ooh, wow. Never heard that before. Now, here he goes again. Here he goes again. Same old voice, same old stuff. Like sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Music to my ears, lullaby to my heart. Oh, did he say something? What was the message about? I don't know. I don't know. Why does that happen? That's why preachers have to go to PowerPoint. Screens, you know? You know, liven it up a little bit. Come on now, stimulate us. Stimulate us more. You know, going to the same church would be the same way. Come in, same doors, go up the same steps, make the same turn, sit in the same seat. Know exactly when it starts, exactly when it ends. Notice what we're going to do. Here we go, up, down, this and that. Here we go. Ugh, I'm bored. This is terrible. How about serving in the same ministry, right? You get somebody, hey, I'm teaching a Sunday. Preacher asked me to teach the junior girls. Yeah, it's great. Week 2, week 3, week 4, week 5, week 6. These girls don't listen. I don't even know if they're getting anything. You know, preacher, I just don't feel like I'm led anymore to do that. The Spirit of God has changed direction. I think it's another ministry. Really? Maybe it's your emotions. Maybe it's your feelings. How about our church, our schedule, right? I mean, think about it. We know what's coming up, right? And I mentioned this, I think, last week. Same routine every year. Jubilee. Teen camp. VBS. Missions conference. Back we go again. Round the loop again. Jubilee again. Oh, he's going to ask us to sign up for food. How many heads of lettuce do I got to bring into this place? I mean, how many things of soda does he want? Every year I bring in soda, 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 soda. 18th Jubilee. VBS. Man, we had 100 the first year. Hey, 260. Ew. Ooh. Oh, those kids are, they smell. They mess up the church. You come in afterwards. Ooh. Oh, no, 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 no. Do you know it's exciting at first, but then we don't care if we miss it. As a matter of fact, we get to the point where we kind of hope that something comes up that we're invited to, but that we can schedule so we can miss it. What happens to us? Really? I'll tell you what it is. We are only concerned about our emotions, and we're responding emotionally. It's all about my feelings. My feelings. You see, it's kind of like your hands. See what I mean by that? Well, you know, some of you know, most of us do some yard work, right? I mean, something, most of us do, some may not. But you ever notice, for me, it's right in here. I got one right here. It's a big old callus right there. Preachers aren't supposed to have calluses. What's wrong with me? But we do, right? Do you know when I first started picking up something this year after the winter, that it hurt? But then after a little bit, it started to harden and harden. Now, you know what? I could take a pin, literally take a pin and poke it through that and walk around with it. Oh, you feel it. It's true. It's a big, thick old callus. Do you know that's the way we can get too? We can get that way. Because what happens is stimulation starts, but then we need more. And then we need more. And then we need more. And then we need more because it's all about the feelings. I got to have some excitement. I got to have some kind of, it's like riding a roller coaster, you know. You ride the same one 100 times. You go, let's go on something bigger, something high. Why do you think they keep on inventing new rides? Because we get tired of the same old thing. Why? Because it's all about our feelings. That's the problem with emotions. You see, they have to, if we're basing everything on it, it has to increase and increase and increase And what it leads to is frustration and spiritual depression. I don't have fun in church no more. I don't enjoy it anymore. Got to come here. Here's this guy, watch the vein pop out of his head. Watch his face get red. Sometimes a little piece of skin. I'm tired of that. Why? Because that's what happens when we let our feelings and our emotions control us. Can I ask you something tonight? And again, I'm not accusing anybody, but does that describe you? I'll tell you what, it describes me sometimes. If I don't have my heart right, my head right, my heart right there, I say, here comes Jubilee again. I say, wait a minute here. It's not here comes Jubilee again. It's here comes Jubilee again. Which brings me to number three, and we're done. The presence of emotions, the problem with emotions, and lastly, the prescription for emotions. Okay, how do we get victory over this? This is it. This is where we're at. We are in a stimulation society. You know, one of the disheartening things is as a preacher, when people get so used to stimulus and they come into a setting like this, they're gone. They're out there. They're sleeping. They're out there. They're gone. You know what I mean? How do we get over this? How do I get victory over this? Well, do more exciting things. No, that's exactly what we don't do. Because then we'll need more, and we'll need more, and we'll need more. What do we do? Well, first of all, don't make the grave mistake of placing your emotions and your feelings first. Don't make it about the emotions. Don't make it about the feelings. If you do, you're doomed to joylessness, to being unhappy in your Christian life. You see, feelings and emotions must never be the goal. Never. Don't spend time analyzing your feelings. Don't make decisions based on your feelings. Don't ask yourself, well, how do I feel about this? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Folks, what we have right here is the Word of God. Jesus said, thy word is truth. John 17:17. What we have is in the Bible is truth. Watch this. Not emotional stimulus. It's truth. Truth is addressed to the mind. Do we understand that? And as we apprehend the truth and then submit to the truth, watch this, the feelings are going to follow. They come afterwards. You see, whether we feel like it or not, and this is a problem. Well, I don't feel like reading my Bible. Too bad. Who cares? Who asked? Does God say, read the Word of God if you feel like it? He says, read it. I don't feel like coming to church. He doesn't say, well, go to church if you feel like it. He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You see, we don't put the emotion, what, do I feel like it? Do I like this? Is it about me? Like it? Don't ask those questions. Whether we feel like it or not, we are to believe the Scriptures, we are to obey the Scriptures, and we are to submit to the truth of God's Word. And not be ruled by our emotions. Can we just set our emotions to the side and function by submitting ourselves to the Word of God? That's how you deal with things. That's how you make decisions. Doesn't the Bible say in Matthew 5:6, blessed, the word blessed, by the way, means happy. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So the goal that I should have is to hunger and to thirst after righteousness, to do right, to obey the Scriptures, to submit myself to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And guess what happens? God blesses me with joy as a byproduct. We're never to seek thrills or excitement or happiness. Never let emotions dictate our decisions. Never. We are to seek God and to seek His righteousness. And then again, joy and happiness will be the byproduct. Simple verse, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Watch this. And all these things will be added unto you. Preacher, I just don't feel like it. My emotion, I just feel. Who cares? Who cares? You know, that's the problem with our generation, this generation right here. We only do what we feel like doing. I'm glad, you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but you know the deal. My dad was military. My mom was, you know, we got it, you know. She may have done it all the right way. I'll tell you what, we didn't say, I don't feel like, I can imagine saying, can you imagine saying that to your dad? I don't feel like taking out the trash today. I don't feel like doing my homework. What? Yeah, and? So, do it anyway. Do it anyway. Folks, this is the key. The reason that we suffer from this joylessness many times is because we're chasing things. Our feelings, our emotions are ruling us, and we're chasing after happiness and joy in some other areas. That's not what to do. Again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, if you seek happiness, you'll never find it. You'll never find it. But if you seek God and his righteousness, God will make you happy. Can we get that? That's pretty simple, isn't it? But we have to do it. Folks, don't let your emotions govern you. And I want to ask you tonight, we're done. Are you ruled by your emotions? If you are, then you're not going to be happy. If you're led by God, if you're following him and his righteousness, then he will be your joy, your happiness, your peace, your life, your everything. Folks, in a world that's governed by, you know, control by their emotions, we have to be careful not to make the same mistake and seek the Lord. Amen.